Well, about $55 million bigger. The last one ended at about $95 million, and this one, the goal is $150 million. So I think that that is certainly a realistic goal, and we are delighted to get into the vocal phase of that. And with me today is my colleague and friend and co-chair, one of the three couples. We have three couples that are co-chairing it, but Dan Kelly, my colleague and friend, is with me here today, and I'm sure that he has some things to say about the campaign as well.
Dan, what, where is that money going to come from? Obviously, you identified different sectors and different areas. So let's deal with first, where is it coming from? And then, Dr. Dietz, where will it go?
Well, we have had great support from the community over the last, especially the last 3 years, where we've set high marks in terms of annual giving. And that includes cash donations as well as pledges for future donations. Those have come from corporations, local companies here in town and across the state. But what we have seen recently is an uptick in alumni donations. And that's where a good share of this $55 million over the last campaign we hope will come from. And we've had good support recently, as I said, with that group.
Are these longtime donors who have been asked to step up and are meeting that ask, or are these people who are entering the mid-career and have never been really able to do something before?
Well, it's a bit across the spectrum. We've had some good support from longtime donors, but interestingly enough, in recent, the last couple of 3 years, we've had 14,000 new donors from the alumni group. And so that's reassuring and gives us a real belief that what our alums are seeing that's going on at Illinois State University is very positive and they want to see it continue.
President Dietz, what are you going to do with the money?
Well, we have three pillars of the campaign. The first one is scholarship. First pillar, that includes scholarships for students to help them pay their expenses, but it also includes under the term scholarship, faculty development and support of the faculty in the scholarship area. The second pillar of the campaign is about leadership, and that's fairly self-evident what that is. Our students, one of the things that sets them apart, in my estimation, when they graduate from here is that not only do they have a degree and a discipline that will be highly regarded by people that are going to be hiring them, but they also have access to leadership opportunities. And so the programs and services are, that support leadership. And then the third pillar is about innovation. And innovation we're defining as a revamping of learning spaces. Students are learning differently now than they did in terms of working in groups and those kinds of things. And so a lot of our learning spaces are kind of old and traditional with fixed seating in classrooms and so forth. So revamping learning spaces and technology. Technology is obviously rapidly changing. And so looking at technology and facility renovation. So those are our three main goals. But in addition to that, if folks have other ideas, obviously the donors rule in these kind of circumstances. But I think those are three really good broad categories that a lot of people can envision themselves in and contributing to.
ISU has been trying to build a culture of philanthropy among its alumni for the last 20, 25 years now. Before that, it was, as a public institution, not quite so focused on that. And the barrier to that, at least one of them, has been that ISU has produced a lot of great teachers, a lot of solid middle-class folks who don't accumulate a lot of assets of their own. On the average, of course, there are always outliers who have made it big and who have shared, but who don't accumulate enough capital to make the big gifts that other institutions have come to rely on. Is that changing? Is the culture of philanthropy taking hold? It's a two-parter there, and either of you can chime in.
Well, I would say that it is changing. We do appreciate all the checks that the individuals out of our College of Education have written for a long period of time, and that clearly is a core group that really believes in the institution. But since those early days when we were a normal school, we've also have a fantastic College of Arts and Sciences, a College of Business, a College of Applied Sciences and Technology, and the list goes on, a great college of fine arts. And so I think really the base has expanded considerably, and as Dan mentioned, we have over 200,000 alums literally all over the world. And so those individuals have different interests and make different levels of money. And so regardless of the gift, it all matters. It all makes a difference, and we're appreciative of what people are giving us. But it has crossed a much broader spectrum.
Dan, what are you seeing?
Well, and what I would add, again, mentioning, you know, that we have 210,000 living alums around the world. If each of those alums could give $100, that would be significant. We have alums that obviously are more capable because of their careers, of being able to give more, and that's appreciated as well. But I think the important thing is when we visit foundations and corporations, and the question is, what are your alums doing to support you? If we can say that 20, 25%, 40% of our alums contribute to the university, that tells a great story, that our graduates believe in the future of this university and are appreciative of what they receive. So if it's someone can give $50 or $100 annually, that's appreciated. If they can give more, obviously it becomes more significant and we can do bigger things. But I don't want to diminish that the importance of everyone giving is as important as the amount they give.
Where does ISU stand on that metric? Is it 20%? Is it 25%?
I believe historically we've been in the above 10 to 15%, and that's fairly typical of universities.
Public universities, ma'am.
I would also mention that the contributions from our own faculty and staff, though, are higher than the national average, and we're very grateful for folks that are investing in the place that is really helping them support their family. So that's something we also have great pride in. But I would echo what Dan said in terms of the discipline and so forth. A lot of folks think it's only graduates of colleges of business that give money, and they're very generous, and that certainly has been worthwhile. But we really have outstanding contributions from all of the colleges on the campus, and we're very thankful for that.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with ISU President Larry Dietz and Dan Kelly, the chair of the Campaign for Illinois State, a new $150 million campaign just kicking off its public phase. What have you raised in the private phase, which is typical for these large efforts?
Well, last Saturday evening, we had our kickoff for our public phase, and we announced that to date we've raised $103 million towards our goal of $150. So we're off to a great start. We start our counting in 2013, and the campaign goes till 2020. So over two-thirds of the way there with about 3 years to go.
Dan Kelly, in considering a culture of philanthropy, other factors than just the loyalty of the alumni and the effectiveness of the institution in performing its mission and telling its story are important. One of those factors is state support, which, as we all know, has been diminishing. Does that make the case for private contributions easier, or what? How does the diminishment of state support affect the efforts like this?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that our donors that have been helpful now and will be in the future are individuals who really, frankly, don't know a lot about that state support. They know that it's been going down, and those that live in the state know that we've had some challenges for the last couple of years. But I think the bottom line is that individuals give to organizations that they believe in, and that in many instances organizations that they feel like have helped them get a leg up in their own careers and personally and so forth. And I think ISU is certainly one of those that has helped a lot of people do well professionally and personally. And so I think the state situation really has an impact. The feeling that people have about giving back to a worthwhile organization that's helped them achieve their goals. So I don't think it's had a negligible effect.
We are seeing changes in patterns of giving nationwide among younger workers. The United Way in McLean County has experienced that in a significant way recently. People apparently are tending to give to causes rather than communities. And so not all dollars stay local anymore. How does this trend affect ISU?
I guess I haven't seen a direct correlation on that. I think there is a difference between a university education and an organization in a community that's has a specific kind of a target and a specific a segment of the population that they're serving. I think the university has a much broader appeal than that. And so with Dan talking about just within the last several years, 14,000 new donors, I think we're also doing a better job of reaching out to our younger alums and our more seasoned alums to say that we need some help. And please contribute to the institution that has helped you do what you're doing now. And that's been well received, and we're going to continue to tell our story, which is a great story, and people want to be a part of that, and we're delighted about it. So we've got more work to do, but that's what we're here talking to you about. We're glad to be able to do the work.
Dan, I had mentioned that ISU really began to try to create that culture of giving starting about 25 years ago. Are you seeing changes in attitudes about the college experience and the warmth that people have in their memory and in their feeling about the institution based on those age cohorts?
Charlie, you're exactly right. People tend today to give where they have a passion, if you will. So when we talk about a cause, it's something that they believe in. And so while Illinois State University, in the broadest sense, is a great place, when people think about donating, especially as individuals, they tend to think about the department or a professor or an experience they had here within their time at ISU that clicks with them, and they want others to have that same type of experience. And so many of our donors, our alumni, will be contributing either for a scholarship or back to the department for facilities to endow a scholarship in the name of a professor, as an example, that really had an impact on them and their career.
That, of course, follows the educational experience and the value that people perceive that they receive from that special professor or that the care that they got from that department and the education that became useful later in their lives. But what about the intentional way in which ISU has sought to revive traditions about homecoming and parents' weekend and the culture of campus life? That started about 25 years ago. Does that get mentioned?
Well, it does, and I served for 13 years on the Alumni Association Board and served as president there for a couple of years. And our goal was to raise friends within the alumni group. We weren't the fundraising body, but we felt that we had to better connect with our alumni. And so that's had an impact as well. The number of alumni obviously have grown over the years as the university has gotten larger and graduates larger classes. But the ability to connect with social media today, do it more effectively and efficiently in terms of cost, has ramped up our alumni connections and therefore our alumni involvement as well.
The chair of the Campaign for Illinois State. Thank you so much for joining us. Larry Dietz is the president of ISU. I'm Charlie Schlenker, and this is Sound Ideas. President Dietz, you're scheduled to give the State of the University speech a little bit later this week. Tell us some of the high points that you hope to call people's attention to.
Well, obviously, the topic that we've just been talking about, I'm going to be talking about the campaign and the public phase of the campaign, so that's going to be one important topic. It'll be giving an update on activities and initiatives that we announced last year. We're going to be having a groundbreaking soon of our new Center for Civic Engagement and Service Learning, and so that's one of the things that we've been working on for a while. Give an update on our international initiatives and our diversity initiatives, it's going to be a really kind of an update. I don't have a lot of major new initiatives to release because we did that several years ago, and we're, as we always do, we're planning our work, and now we're working our plan, and so we're coming along very well on all of those initiatives. But it's going to be kind of an update, and look forward to meeting with the group.
Education Secretary Betsy DeVos recently put out a shot across the bow for many universities. She called on higher education in the nation to be more even-handed in how it treats both suspects and alleged victims of sexual assault on campus. ISU has, of course, paid a lot of attention to that historically. Is this going to change in any nuance what you do?
Well, I certainly don't want to take issue with Secretary DeVos. She has her ideas and opinions about this topic, and it's an important topic across all campuses and at ISU. I think that our policies and procedures that we have in place handle that issue really quite well. We respect, the rights of the accused, and we respect the rights of the individuals who are the victims of crime. And so, sorting that out is the difficult part. And I think our process is respectful to both parties. And so, it's an important issue across the country, and it's one that I think that we have been handling well. And we'll continue to do so.
Advocates for those who have been sexually assaulted are worried that this indicates a shift that back to the bad old days when victims' allegations were taken less seriously in many institutions, not this one necessarily. Do you share that fear?
I don't think that we plan to take them less seriously. It's an important issue everywhere, and so we want the students that are coming here and enrolling here, male or female, to be safe, to be able to continue with their classes and their education in a safe kind of environment. And we'll do everything in our power to try to protect that. Having said that. If there's an edict that comes out, we have a legal responsibility to follow whatever is the law. But I have yet to see that, and so in the meantime, we're going to continue to enforce our policies and our procedures and try to make this campus as safe as we know how to make it.
Part of Secretary DeVos's concern is that institutions of higher education are not experts in the criminal process and may not have the expertise to do investigations in an even-handed or safe or professional way. Your thoughts about that one?
Well, we are experts in codes of conduct, and much more so, I would say, than a lot of other folks that are not on the campus. And so our investigation teams that we have on campus are competent folks. They go through training all the time. And if something does end up in the criminal side of things, we don't have any input into that, but the investigations that we conduct are really about conduct code violations, and then we have a reporting obligation. If in fact we see a crime occurring, we have reporting requirements on that. But most of our work on this is really around the student conduct code, and we have terrific folks that are working in that area.